Okay, and welcome back. Going to talk to Father Paul Kramer this hour. Lots to talk about, as usually happens right before he is due to be on the program, interestingly enough. Here's a quickie. Reuters, without question, one of the worst journalism sources of all. Israel's Netanyahu called Pope Leo after Gaza church strike, Vatican says. I'm going to follow this real quickly. It's a very short story. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu called Pope Leo on Friday, the Vatican said, a day after an Israeli strike on Gaza's sole remaining Catholic Church killed three and injured several more. During the call, the Pope renewed his appeal for a ceasefire and an end to the war in Gaza and expressed his concern over the dramatic humanitarian situation in the Palestinian enclave, again, a Vatican statement said. And that's the end of the story. Oh, there's one more sentence. Leo also stressed the urgent need to protect places of worship, the faithful, and all people in the Palestinian territories. That's the end of it. No comment in the article about what Netanyahu said or that you know what he said, the usual. Oh, we're so terribly sorry. It was an accident. It was this and that. Excuses. It was a tank crew, and they were trying to shoot the cross at the top of the church off, and they missed. That's the best information I can give you. These idiots. They're destroying everything. The inhumanity of the Israeli military in Gaza is indescribable. It's that horrible. So this was just a low-life prank. Let's shoot the cross off the church, but they screwed up. That's the best guess I can give you. All right, Father Kramer, are you there? And thanks for getting up, and welcome back.
It's good to be back. And unfortunately, the circumstances don't give us much opportunity for good news.
No. Yes, same old story.
The so-called Pope Leo, like I say, he's doubtfully a valid pope because I think the only thing that can really be said about him is that his style is different, but he's Bergoglian through and through.
I concur. I haven't spent a whole lot of time with him, but everything I've seen him say, slightly differently, but he's saying it's the party line. It's the Bergoglian party line. Same tone, same inflection in the words. Anyway, you're right. I agree 100%.
And although he has this outward appearance of being more traditionally Catholic, it's only in matters like a personal spirituality and things like that and devotion. But anything of substance regarding the conducting of the office of the papal office, he does it in a fully synodalistic manner. He defers to the synodal church, this is intolerable for Catholics.
He's a fraud. He's another fraud. They've very wisely picked someone who would give indications that, well, he's not the same. We got to turning a new page here. Same old, same old. They're right on course to destroy the Catholic Church. This guy's just sitting in the driver's seat right now.
The appointments that he makes gives it away entirely.
Tell us more about that. I haven't heard about his appointments. So what do we have so far?
Some of the bishops that he has given the stamp of approval on to appoint them in their respective dioceses are among the very worst. The very worst.
All right. Well, not surprised. Any pushback from the faithful of any consequence yet? How many years are we into the Bergoglian agenda now? 12? I can't remember. Something like that.
Something like that, yeah. I have 12 years. Well, unfortunately, it looks like it's going to get worse, but there are, in the Catholic Church, groups who understand what is happening. And was the late Father Malachy Martin who I think said it best when he said that the institutional church under the Vatican has made itself irrelevant. That there is an underground church, and it functions. It has its priests. It even has some bishops. It has its priests. Not that many bishops, but it has its bishops. It has its bishops, like the late Bishop Richard Williamson.
Yeah.
And the bishops that he ordained. There are other traditional Catholic bishops and priests who are actively serving in the ministry for their Catholic faithful. And they're not going away. They're not going to cave into this counterfeit church that Bergoglio has established. Bergoglio is the founder of a counterfeit church, and his successor, as a counterfeit, as the leader of the counterfeit church, is the man who calls himself Leo. Now, under such circumstances,
go ahead. I found something very interesting that will be helpful. Go ahead.
He's doubtfully a valid pope. Only a very slim chance that he is authentically of the Catholic Church. I would say not, because he's synodalist through and through. Mm-hmm. It's his appointments. His appointments give it away. It reminds me of how Reagan was able to become Ronald Reagan was able to become president. He had to accept George Bush as his vice president, and
all those
New World Order people that he appointed in his cabinet, and that's what this man is. But this man, is not just a hostage to the situation. He is what in the Communist Party they would call a true believer. A true believer in Bergoglianism.
I got it.
In synodalism. He's a true believer.
Well, they put him in there too quickly. They're not going to throw away 10 or 12 years of effort. I think it's 12. This guy was the perfect choice for them. It seemed Bergoglio light, but it's not. He's carrying right on, doing what he's supposed to do. Here's a story for you. Pope Leo under fire for vague statement on Israel's bombing of Gaza Catholic Church. Well, there wasn't a bombing. It was apparently a tank round. Whatever. Pope Leo is facing growing criticism over his response to an Israeli airstrike. I don't think it was an airstrike. Which killed three and wounded several others. Let me skip ahead here. In a statement, Pope Leo expressed sorrow and called for peace, but stopped short of naming Israel as the attacker. Wow. Prompting disappointment from Palestinian Christians and observers around the world. I should think so. The guy is he's so controlled, he couldn't even say Israel was responsible for the deaths and destruction. Leo wrote, "I am deeply saddened to learn of the loss of life and injury caused by the military attack." Where's the word Israel? "On the Holy Family Catholic Church in Gaza. I assure the parish community of my spiritual closeness. I commend the souls of the deceased to the loving mercy of Almighty God and pray for their families and the injured. I renew my call for an immediate ceasefire. Only dialogue and reconciliation can ensure enduring peace." social media users have demanded a clearer call for accountability. One user described the statement as being a shameful response. I would agree with that. The Christians of Gaza are not suffering because they've failed to commit to dialogue and reconciliation, they said. Many social media users drew comparisons between Pope Leo and his predecessor, Pope Francis, expressing disappointment in the new pope's response. Well, you come on. Who's in charge here? The Jews. They're running a lot of this. He wouldn't even say Israel. What does that tell you? It tells you a lot. Go ahead, Father Kramer.
The perpetrators needed to be condemned, and they weren't. And by not naming who the perpetrators were, it reminds me of the Soviet regime when they gave their account of what the slaughter of the Polish officers in the Katyn forest. They blamed it on the Germans. They blamed it on the Germans, but everybody in Poland knew it was the communists, the Soviets, who had committed the mass murder.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something of a parallel, but not naming the true culprits, not naming the culprits, but just speaking in such vague and general terms, not to offend those who are committing the acts of the most vile criminality.
I couldn't agree more. The guy's a fraud. Simple. He's a fraud.
Like his master, Bergoglio.
Yeah.
There's a journalist, Diane Montagna, who received the document, a leaked document of a survey that was made of the bishops throughout the world. Mm-hmm. Because Bergoglio wanted to know what was the position of the bishops regarding the allowing the traditional Latin Mass to be celebrated in the churches. And the majority of bishops said that they were pleased with the result and recommended that it be continued. In other words, the provisions of Pope Benedict XVI, Summorum Pontificum, were approved of by the vast majority of bishops.
Right.
But Bergoglio issued a decree called Traditionis Custodes, where he basically stamped out the last vestige of toleration of the traditional Latin Mass in the church, to outlaw the Mass, to completely forbid, except for the most slight exceptions in the most rare and remote places, to allow for the traditional Latin Mass, because he wanted to dictatorially impose the synodal church that's really incompatible with everything that is traditionally Catholic. Mm-hmm. And the Catholic faith that is so expressed so perfectly and beautifully in that traditional liturgy, it is not something that can be legitimately suppressed. It has been infallibly taught by the Church in repeated professions of faith, in the Tridentine Profession of Faith, in the Vatican Council I Profession of Faith, and in a very solemn decree of the Council of Constance, Session 37, it is very solemnly declared that even the Pope does not have the power over the rite, that the Pope is bound by the traditional rite. The Popes cannot suppress the traditional rite. They are bound to it. And the profession of faith binds all Catholics to the traditional rites. They do not have the power to suppress it, to forbid it. And it was Pope John Paul II who appointed a commission of 9 cardinals to examine the question, and they unanimously came to the conclusion that it had never been legitimately suppressed by Paul VI, that it was not forbidden, it was just the wording of some of the documents that created the impression. Mm-hmm. It was entirely a color of law sort of thing to make it look like it was going to be forbidden. But Paul VI knew that he didn't have the power to forbid it, and so he didn't. But he wanted to make it look like it was forbidden so he could impose the Vatican II liturgy, which is basically a break with Catholic tradition. It was planting the seed of the tree that has grown into the synodal church. And this is the very, very crux of the message of Fatima, the changes in the Mass that will lead ultimately, eventually, to forbidding the Mass entirely. But they're replacing the Catholic Church with a counterfeit church that is entirely opposed to everything that is Catholic and Christian, everything that the church has represented for 2,000 years. And this is a total fraud that Bergoglio was, because Bergoglio, it was in the name of the justification of what the bishops were asking for in that survey, that the bishops were asking for the traditional Mass to be suppressed, and that the permission for this to allow it should be revoked. And it was just the opposite. The bishops were approving of the provisions of Pope Benedict XVI. So Bergoglio was a bold-faced liar. He came out with his decree saying that it's because of it's the bishops who want that traditional Mass to be suppressed that he issued the decree to suppress it. Whereas the bishops had the exact opposite position, which was they wanted it to continue that way. And in truth, according to Catholic dogma, not even the Pope has the authority to suppress, to forbid that traditional rite of Mass, because Catholics are bound to the traditional rites of the ritual church, as is solemnly, infallibly defined by the Council of Florence in 1441, mm-hmm. that those of the Roman rite are bound to the Roman custom, the Roman customary liturgy, the Roman custom, and those of the Greek rite are of the Greek liturgical tradition. That this is defined. It has always been the position of the Church that these traditional rites it is of divine law. They're under that sanction of divine law that they cannot be suppressed. The traditional liturgies cannot be suppressed. Yet they bring this entirely new world order religion, that is going to replace not just Catholicism, but it's going to attempt to expunge the name of Jesus Christ from all.
That's correct. That's where this is going. And it's good of you to point that out. You can't look at the end result too clearly early on, but you've got to try. And that's the end. That's the punchline here. It's all got to go. That's what they think.
That's where it's leading. And
that's
we see
really disgusting.
The governments, the United Nations, and the Vatican all working in unison to bring about this new world order. This godless new world order, and it's going to restore pagan worship mm-hmm. in its worst forms, and we already see this happening. They're bringing in paganized rites into the church. Mm-hmm. The Mayan rite, for example, this Amazonian idolatries that Bergoglio brought in. Now it's being institutionalized liturgically. This goes back a long way. I remember around, it was 1992 when I traveled to India. I met there a man by the name of Victor Kulandai, who wrote a book. He gave me a copy of his book, on the paganization of the Mass in India. So they were already doing it then. And now they're paganizing the Mass. And what Bergoglio did was he issued a decree which gives the bishops' conferences the power to introduce these new rites that will paganize the Mass and change it into something different than the Mass. It won't even be Christian. It won't be Christian in any sense of the word.
I agree. Are they going to actually try to deconstruct the Mass? Yeah, are they going to revise it in sections, in pieces, or are they just going to throw it all out and say, here's the new Mass directly handed to us from God? Whatever. How are they going to do this?
Well, they're going to do it the way they're doing it. And the way they're doing it is through synodalism, which means that the various churches in the different regions of the world, the national bishops' conferences with their liturgical commissions, they draw up these new rites, and then the Vatican will rubber stamp these new paganized rites. So it won't be like a pope decreeing for the whole church a single pagan rite, but it's the pope, the so-called pope, the synodal pope, who will rubber stamp the paganized, corrupted rites that are going to be proposed from the peripheries, from the various regions of the world, and just rubber stamp all this all this evil.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's summed up very well. Rubber stamping evil.
The rubber stamping obvious. All this devilry. Devilry is what it is.
Satanic devilry. I agree. Yep.
Now, if Leo were a Catholic pope, the day after, within 24 hours after he was elected, he would have gotten rid of Tutu Fernandes.
Yeah.
Fernandes is still in his place.
And what place is that? Where is he? What is he tapped to do? What do you think his future will be?
Well, his official position is supposed to be the man who is the guardian of the doctrine of the faith. And this is like putting. Stalin or Gorbachev in charge of safeguarding the truth.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Got it. I'm just not terribly optimistic that there's going to be the kind of uprising in the ranks from around the world that is needed and would be the only thing that could reverse this terrible sacrilege that has been done to the church.
There's going to be when the regime becomes more oppressive, like I say.
Yeah.
The Vatican is going to be using the assistance of the collaboration between the Vatican, United Nations, and the governments of the world, they are going to impose such an oppression that it's going to be like the Soviet Union under Lenin, where you had the bloodbath, and where you had the gulags created. That regime is going to be duplicated, but on a global level, and we see very disturbingly that things are moving in that direction already in the United States. The weaponization, the militarization of the law enforcement, and its weaponization against the people, is something that's been going on for a long time, and it's only getting worse. It's getting worse every day.
Absolutely. Yes. Go ahead.
We see, like, innocent people, American citizens, who are being attacked in their houses by federal law enforcement, who have absolutely no respect for the Constitution. I just saw a video, a presentation about the this is not fake news. There was a girl, I think about 18 years old, who was an American citizen, American-born American citizen, who was
right
physically attacked by the ICE troopers because. I guess in their view, she looked like an alien, like a Latin American immigrant who therefore they suspect would be an illegal alien, whereas she's an American-born citizen, English-speaking American-born citizen, and because she looks Hispanic and she's of Hispanic origin. The ICE troopers physically attacked her and tackled her and were carrying her away. She called up the police. They were not dressed in any kind of recognizable law enforcement uniform. They looked like just the thugs that they are. And this is the kind of thing that happened under Lenin in the Soviet Union. This is also when Hitler came to power, one of the tactics he used. He had the Sturmabteilung, which is the stormtroopers, that carried out this kind of terror against to establish. So you had Hitler and you had Stalin and Lenin, Hitler and Lenin and then Stalin using these mm-hmm. tactics, and that's what's mm-hmm. happening now in the United States. Exactly mm-hmm. the same thing. it's absolutely incredible that when you see this happening and people don't even realize that this is coming from the same playbook as Hitler and Stalin.
Oh, there's nothing new. They just rewind it and put another coat of paint on it and launch it again. Same. I will say this about Hitler and Germany. I don't see the parallel with Marxism. I see a country and a government that was absolutely devoted to elevating the quality of human life in that country for its people more than any other nation I've ever seen. And that was a delineating feature that made it different. Their number one resource was not their natural resources, not their military, it was their people. And I mean, they had free vacations for the people. The working class was taken care of better than any other I've ever seen. That was different. That was a big deal. Anyhow, and the people loved it. You've seen photos. You've seen movies. People were ecstatic in the 30s, the treatment they were given. So that was different. You didn't see that in the Soviet Union ever. No. So that was a big deal.
The Soviet Union was worse, but there were targeted individuals in Germany
There are targeted individuals in the United States right now. This country is so fragmented and split. It's a joke. People don't understand. So 2 million votes separated Trump and Harris. That's it. 77 million to 75 million. The country's fragmented right down the middle.
And,
not going to heal.
No, and the man who really has the power to restore the country is instead he's bumbling around he's being used as an instrument to create the division and set up the situation for a civil war.
There are people now talking about him as being potentially evidencing symptoms of mental incompetence. How's that? They think he's declining. He was diagnosed with edema, which is not necessarily bad. A lot of people have swollen feet, swollen ankles and things, but it's usually tied into heart problems and things like that, but not always. Anyway, his behavior has been absolutely unforgivable. MAGA is being begun to be fragmented as well. It's beginning to break up. They can't take the lies. I mean, this guy doesn't even lie cleverly. He just lies. He just runs his mouth, and out comes another lie. And he's threatening to excommunicate, that's his word, any member of MAGA who continues to ask about the Epstein list, which he says doesn't exist. It was an invention of the Democrat Party. He's nuts. That's not even a clever lie. So I don't know what. He's not the same man he was in 2016. Not that that was much better, but he's changed a lot. Why? I don't have any idea.
Threatening to impose tariffs on Brazil because of the.
I know. Yeah.
As if the United States has any authority to dictate to another country how they are to conduct their internal affairs. I mean, this is ridiculous.
He's absolutely acting in a ridiculous fashion. He's nuts. He's acting like he's nuts. I don't mind saying it. I'm not speaking for Father Kramer here. But, all he eats is fast food. That's his dent. Maybe it's catching up with him mentally. I don't know. But it is a terrible thing to watch this country be dragged through the muck of incompetence like this. And criminal incompetence at that. Go ahead.
Bolsonaro was a much not as bad as what they have now running Brazil.
Agreed.
But even Bolsonaro, I think the reason why Trump is so offended by the treatment that Bolsonaro is receiving is because Bolsonaro was, I think, unlike Trump, Bolsonaro was a saner version of Trump.
I had no problem with Bolsonaro, what he was saying. It was pragmatic from that particular stance on the right side of center. He wasn't a nut. He was pragmatic. I had no problem with him.
But he was still, how should I say, like all the U.S. presidents, they have to give the devil his due. In order to gain,
it's
to
true.
Gain office.
And they have to sell out. That's right.
That's right. And he did. So did.
Well, look what we have now. What the guy we have now, Millier or whatever, I can't pronounce it. His first official act as president of Argentina, not Brazil, but I think of the two as being kissing cousins, at least. What did he do? Millet? He went to New York, to Queens, to the Lubavitcher headquarters, and prayed at the grave of Rabbi Schneerson. And this is after converting to Judaism. I think it was a week or two before. He converted to Judaism right before the vote in Argentina. So both countries have been Not looking good. Anyway, so here we go. We're turning the corner. We're seeing Pope Leo, what is it, the 14th, 16th, whatever it is, it doesn't matter.
For anyone who doesn't know, that Schneerson was a piece of work.
Read his material. Oh, just read it. Hate, total hate. Of non-Jews. All right, yeah. I don't know where this is going. It's not going to a good place. If Dmitry Medvedev has any real clout with Putin, he's pushing Putin to start World War III officially, formally, before Trump's 50-day deadline arrives. So in the next month, he's suggesting to Putin that Russia either witnesses Ukraine get rid of Zelensky, which means NATO and the U.S. would have to concur and conspire, and then there would be free elections, fat chance, and then Ukraine would basically have to recognize the Donbass as having voted to leave, and they're gone. And that isn't going to happen. And if that doesn't happen, you know what Medvedev said? He said, Kiev, all the people should be given 2 weeks to evacuate, and then we level the entire city. Wall to wall. That's what he said. So that's on the table now.
When Trump was running for president, he said he could end this war in 24 hours.
Oh, my. Yeah, I remember. So many lies.
And he could have, if he had the will to do it.
He doesn't. He's a fraud. He doesn't. He doesn't answer to himself. He doesn't answer to the American people. He answers to international Zionism. That's what he's totally in league with.
Many people were hoping that, and I think many people even voted for Trump because they thought that could bring about peace between Russia and Ukraine. And instead, Trump has adopted the party line of his predecessors, his Democrat predecessors, in their antagonism against Russia, which is not going to help Ukraine. This is not something that's going to help Ukraine.
No, this is something
that's going to bring about the destruction of Ukraine. Whereas, to bring about peace between Russia and Ukraine, that would be in the best interest not only of Ukraine but of the general world peace would be a much less problematic situation if that had been brought about, but it hasn't. Instead, Trump has adopted the policies of his predecessors, the failed policies, which are going to push the world into a third world war.
I'm really getting to a point where I don't see any way out of it. That seems to be the only conclusion. Here's a little clip. I played it last hour. It's up at the top of the website. It's American Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, otherwise known as MTG. You've probably heard of her. She's made a statement, introduced a bill to try to pull the influence of Israel and Zionism out in the open in terms of controlling America. Look how much we give them and have since 1948. Here's Marjorie Taylor Greene again.
Israel bombed a Catholic church in Gaza, and that an entire population is being wiped out as they continue their aggressive war in Gaza. My amendment would strike $500 million in funding for nuclear-armed Israel's missile defense system. The U.S. already provides Israel with $3.8 billion annually in foreign aid. $3.8 billion, that's a lot of money. Additionally, the April 2024 security supplemental included $8.7 billion for Israel. Even though Israel, nuclear-armed Israel, has universal health care for their citizens and subsidized college for their citizens. They're able to provide that. However, here in America, we're $37 trillion in debt. My amendment will ensure an America First Department of Defense, and that is exactly what we need and we haven't had for a very long time.
All right, well said. I mean, Israel has been the parasite sucking the life's blood out of this country since 1948. It's never stopped. Whatever they want, they ask, they get. So there you just had a little accounting. This is around $15 billion. We literally support that entire country. American tax dollars support that entire country. What do they do for money?
And the result is that they dictate to the United States what their foreign policy should be.
100% true. You're not exaggerating a bit. No, it's pathetic. Well, just a week ago or so, Netanyahu came over with a couple of dozen of his top people to sit down with Trump, I think, and help him see the light, give him his marching instructions. This is what's going on here.
Yeah.
More and more Americans are waking up. There's nothing they can do about it, but they're waking up at least, which
is
good.
Well, who was Epstein working for?
Well, he was Mossad and CIA by definition. They're two different parts of the same beast.
That's how they get someone like Trump to reverse his position from what he represented himself to be in the campaign, and now he adopts the opposite position because they twist his arm.
Trump was Jeffrey Epstein's best friend for 10 years. I have this on tape, video, or digital recording from Epstein himself, saying that Trump was my best friend for 10 years. You get to know someone pretty well under those circumstances. Trump knew a lot. Trump is dirty. There's no question. And I don't believe Epstein is dead. The cameras were down. They took him out of his cell and put a body in there and then wheeled the body out. It looks sort of like him, but you can tell it's not him. Mossad does not hang their own out to dry. They wouldn't do that. He served too well, too long, and accomplished way too much. And this thing about Trump just suddenly out of the blue saying, well, there really is no list. It's a Democrat invention. He sounds like he should be locked up in a straitjacket. It's crazy talk. So,
I sent you an email with citing a document about proof that that list is real. I don't know if you got it.
I have to find it. I did. I do believe I have it. Let me find out here. I saw it somewhere. I get too many emails. Tell us what it was about.
I don't recall the details now because I've been going through so much material these last few days that I can't remember the details.
All right. Well, it's not in that folder. Let's see if it's in this folder. Kramer. Yesterday. It was yesterday, right?
Could have been.
All right. I've got it.
Hey, this is Senator John Ossoff.
I don't Georgia. Know who that is.
There is a smoking gun letter dated February 27, 2025, that proves that the Trump administration had and has an Epstein list. Is it complete? Well, we don't know. But we now know that they are lying. And here's the critical aspect of it. You don't need to speculate. You don't need to email anyone. You don't need to hack into anything. Thanks to Freedom of Information Act requests, we have the letter that proves they have way more than they are claiming to have. This is a letter from the Office of the Attorney General, meaning Pam Bondi. The letter is signed by Pam Bondi, written to FBI Director Kash Patel. Folks, these are public documents, okay? Dear Director Patel, before you came into office, I requested the full and complete files related to Jeffrey Epstein. In response to this request, this is the key, I received approximately 200 pages of documents, which consisted primarily of flight logs, Epstein's list of contacts, a list of victims' names, and phone numbers. Okay. They say there is no list, and we suspected that that was semantics. because here is Pam Bondi acknowledging before getting additional documents. This is what she already had before getting additional documents. Flight logs, which tell you where planes went and who was on the planes. Epstein's list of contacts, which, by the way, is also available. I looked at it. Ivanka Trump is on there. All sorts of people are on there. And a list of the victims' names and phone numbers. Damn, that does sound like the Epstein list, which they now claim what to have. Pam Bondi goes on to say, I repeatedly questioned whether this was the full set of documents responsive to my request and was repeatedly assured by the FBI that we had received the full set of documents. Late yesterday, I learned from a source that the FBI field office in New York was in possession of thousands of pages of documents related to the investigation and indictment of Epstein. So here Pam Bondi is saying, not only do I have 200 pages of documents, which certainly meet the colloquial definition of the Epstein list, she is aware of something that is at least five times larger, right? At least 1,000 pages, and she says thousands, so it actually could be at least 10 times larger or more than what she already has. And now we're supposed to believe there's no list? The FBI had thousands of pages conforming to what we colloquially know of as a list, and Pam Bondi had hundreds of pages of what would be a list.
Okay, you get the point. The reason the list is not going to be released unredacted in the raw is because Trump is heavily in it. Anybody with a brain knows that. You can't be best friends with Jeffrey Epstein for 10 years and not get dirt on you. He participated. He was a player. He was there. He knew a lot. That's the best way to sum it up.
Which means that the office of the president is compromised.
And it's totally.
Now it is manipulated by a foreign power.
Yep.
And we know which foreign power that is.
Yeah, that foreign power just visited the White House again last week. Perhaps a little longer. It's really disgusting. This country has fallen so far. I don't see any way back up for it. I don't. We're not doing well. And now, literally, there are efforts being made to ignite World War III. Lots of efforts. And can you imagine what it must be like in the Kremlin, in Russia, watching Trump and listening to Trump talk and transcribing his babbling idiocy and reading it and trying to figure out what the hell is really going on with this guy? Not an easy task. So it's crazy out there.
And some of the more educated and saner observers have pointed out that it is not the Russians and the Chinese who want a war. They're not the ones who want the war.
No, they don't. No. And we are now pushing for a war that we are not ready, willing, and able to prosecute. We don't have the munitions. We don't have the weapons systems. We've given it all to Ukraine, which I think was intentional. We've been disarmed, basically, to a very substantial degree. We can't fight a war, especially a two-front war, one in Europe, one in Asia. Forget it. It won't happen. So we're really in big trouble.
Yeah, we're in a position now that we have a government that is pushing itself into a war that we will lose. We will lose this war.
Yes, absolutely. There's no way we can win it. Can't win it. Father Kramer, thank you. Have a nice weekend. We'll look forward to our next talk. Be well.
Right. Bye now.
Okay, good night. I'm sure it'll be probably the same next week. This is how it's going to be from now on out until somebody drops the hammer. All right. Have a good weekend. Think about preparing. Seriously. This could happen at any time. All right. Appreciate all of you. Thanks for the kind words. Enjoy and prepare.